Welcome back, Lecture 29 on Christian Leaders Institute, as we get into church revitalization. We've just finished talking about mission and understanding the purpose of the church. And in this lecture, we're going to be talking about vision. And these words are often used together. They're often, I think, confused. And I'm hoping today in this lecture to help you understand the difference between them. Just as we talked about the value of knowing the mission of the church, I'd love to be able to communicate with you the importance of you having a vision for the ministry that you're leading, where God has put you. So let's pray about this. We always need the Lord's hand leading and guiding us. And in this lecture, it's certainly no different. Let's pray. Lord, you're a wonderful Lord. You are faithful to the end. Lord, we know that you are sovereign and that you have a plan for all things. You exist outside of time. And so, Lord, as we talk about vision and moving into the future, God, we know that you're already there. So I pray for everyone watching, Lord, that they might have the eyes and the ears and the heart to see, Lord, what your vision for them is and the ministries they lead. And God, speak to them in a way that just creates excitement and passion and gets them so excited, Lord, about all the possibilities of what can be done in and through your name. Amen. Okay, so let's start by just distinguishing the difference between mission and vision, okay? So mission asks the question, what? What should the church be about? What is the church called to do? Again, this is capital C church, the universal church. And we talked about that, right? What does the church do? Well, it continues the ministry of Jesus. It is a ministry of worship. It's a ministry of evangelism and gospel sharing. It's a ministry of discipleship. It's a ministry of serving. And it's a ministry of covenantal loving relationships. That's the what. What is the church supposed to do? Okay? So we spent quite a bit of time last lecture digging into that. Vision asks, how? How are we going to do that? Okay? How are we going to do that right here? Like in your place, wherever you're at, whatever city, whatever country, whatever ministry, whatever church, whatever size it is, whatever context you're in, how are you going to do it there specifically? So, unlike mission, which is universal, because you, me, I don't care who it is, in 500 years from now, the mission of the church, it's going to be the same thing, right? Vision is not universal. Vision is this. It's an original and unique expression of the mission of the church, dependent upon its location and generation. So let me break this down for you. So it's original and unique. So this is something that God is very specially calling you to do, right where you're at, right at this time. This is what God has for you. And it's very dependent upon where you are, the needs of your community, what's going on at this time in history, right? So it's an expression of the mission. It's saying how we are going to get done the ministry of Jesus in our time and in our place. How are we going to do that? We know what we're supposed to do. That's last lecture. We know what we're supposed to do, but now we're going to talk about how we're supposed to do it, okay? And again, just touching, and I feel like I've said it like a million times in these lectures, but I feel like I'm going to say it a million and one. It's so dependent on location and generation. So when we talk about vision, right, what God is calling you to do is always going to be the same. How God's calling you to do that is always going to be different. It's going to be unique. So if you're a church in urban Chicago, it's going to look different than if you're a church in the countryside in England. If you're in a very affluent, rich area, it's going to look probably very different than another city where there's homelessness and a lack of food, or a place where they don't have clean water. It's what God is calling you to do, how to live out the mission, it's going to be different. So for the million and first time, there is no silver bullet here. There's no magic solution. There's no one size fits all. It's going to have to be through the Lord's assistance, figuring out this original and unique expression, okay, of fulfilling the mission. So we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But before that, let's talk about why does vision matter? Why is it important to be thinking about kind of the future? And when we talk about vision, right, we're talking about looking ahead, seeing ahead. It's painting a picture of where would we be in 5 years, right? It's forward thinking. It's an exercise in dreaming, right? It's envisioning, right? It doesn't exist yet, but it kind of like exists in your mind. So why is this process so important of thinking about what could be, right? What's so important about it? Well, it really gets us beyond maintenance mentality. I think churches that are struggling, churches that are in decline, I don't know, it could be 100%. Like, there's just a maintenance mentality of just keeping things going, and we don't look ever any farther than maybe the next year when we talk about our budget, but like, that's it. And it's like, well, we'll kind of just keep doing what we're doing, but there isn't any sense of like down the road and, oh my goodness, you know, let's dream about in 5 years, 3 years, 10 years, 50 years, what God could do in and through this place, and how it could change the community that we're in, how the kingdom of God could break in. So it gets us beyond just thinking, well, we're going to repeat all the programs we had this year, next year. We're going to spend, the same money we did last year, this year. We only need the same number of leaders next year that we needed this year. Because when you're in maintenance mentality, it's always going to, as things go away, you're always going to be kind of a shrinking dynamic. It's always going to be getting less and less and less and less, right? Vision kind of thinks about kind of like increasing. It makes you kind of go in a different direction, right? And this is such a wonderful gift that we have as humans, this ability to think about the future, to get excited about it, you know, to look forward, to dream. This is part of what it is to be made in the image of God, is to envision a future, right? You know, I have a wonderful dog, and she's 5 years old, you know, but she never thinks about like what she's going to be doing next Thursday, right? Like, I really hope that I get to go to the park next Thursday, or, you know, next Saturday, it'd be great if I could have a bath. You know, my dog never thinks about that. My dog is just kind of in the moment, lives for the moment. There's no long range planning. There's no thinking ahead. And that's something that separates us from animals, right? I mean, that we're made in the image of God, and God sees the future. God's in the future, and we are like that. And so vision, as we think about the future, we think about what could be, it really fuels revitalization. It gets us excited. We're not just stuck on what's going on now, and what are all the problems, and what are all the difficulties, and what are all the obstacles we're going to have to overcome. It gets us thinking about success and victory and progress and, you know, excitement. So it really fuels revitalization. It gets our juices going, right? We've talked about this a little bit. It makes us think, what if in 10 years from now, this whole room were filled with people who right now don't believe in Jesus Christ. What if we could feed, 500 children a week who are going hungry? What if, just all those kind of things. What if we could do this? You know, what if we could raise up the next generation of we could do something and invest in young people, and in the next generation we could send 10 people into full-time Christian ministry. What if we could do that? You know, what if we could not just, you know, become healthy ourselves, but what if out of this we could plant another church? You know, again, it gets us thinking, like, you know, the what if. Again, it gets us beyond the problems of the day. And I think another important thing is with vision, thinking about the future, it justifies changes and hard decisions, right? It gives us the kind of the freedom to say, oh, we're doing this because we have this great idea in mind, not just an idea, but we've got a vision that we think God is leading us towards, and that's why we're doing this. So I think about when my family, when we decide to take a big family vacation and we're going somewhere. So for us, you know, we have to start saving money. We have to change our schedule. And then in order to save money, we have to say no to things that we would like to do during the year. So maybe we can't go out to eat when we would like to because we need to save money for our trip. Then we have to spend some of our free time making reservations and planning and coordinating and doing all kinds of things. So, you know, the run-up to a big family vacation, you know, can be quite a bit of work. And it costs a lot of money that could be used on other things. So, but here's the thing. It doesn't really seem hard to say no to something when I know I'm saying no to this, but in 6 months from now, our family is going to be on this dream vacation. So I can go without this now. I can go without a new pair of shoes, or I can go without going out to dinner, because I know where I'm going to be in 6 months, and that is just so exciting, and that beats anything, right? But if I had nothing to look forward to, if there was nothing I was working towards, there would be no point, I guess, in making kind of hard decisions. And so this idea is that when you have something out there in front of you that you're working towards, that you've got a vision for, it really helps you make hard decisions now, right? I'll give you another example. I have two of my kids are in high school, and one of them is going into his last year of high school, and he's getting ready to go. He's thinking about colleges and all this kind of stuff. And so we have a lot of conversations about him studying hard and putting in extra work and challenging himself and all this stuff. Well, why is that? Because it's not just about the class he's in now. It's about, well, he wants to get into a good school. And he wants to get into a good school because he'd like to have a career one day and enjoy his occupation and to be able to provide for his family and to have a good life and to be able to have money and resources to bless others and all those kind of things. So he's willing now to put in the extra work and the extra effort, not just because, like, he wants to do it now. In fact, he doesn't want to do it now for the most part. But he does it anyway because we're teaching him, like, why this will matter in 5 years, in 10 years, and in 20 years. The kind of life he'd like to have, it requires that sort of sacrifice now. So when we think about churches, and we think about churches going through revitalization, and making hard decisions and saying no to some things, saying yes to some things, and pushing ourselves and stretching ourselves, if we have a clear vision of what we want to do, what we want to be, it really helps, again, justify why we're doing the things we're doing, right? We want to be a church that's all about this. So that's why we make these decisions. We want to be a church that, you know, has a really robust children's ministry. I'm just making this up. So what we're going to do is we're going to need to bring on extra staff in order to do that. So we're going to increase the budget now for that. We're going to work on redoing a children's ministry area We're going to try to get into the school system to establish connections and some tutoring and after school things. We're going to, you know, all these kind of things. Okay, so this is going to take time, it's going to take money, it's going to take a lot of effort, it's going to take a lot of training. Well, why are we doing all this? Because we imagine that down the road, children who are who have no place to go after school are being loved, they're being fed, they're succeeding in school, they're being introduced to Jesus. We're going to capture that generation, and they're going to grow up knowing the Lord. They're going to grow up being happy, healthy, productive citizens and raising up good families. That's, you know, so that's the vision. That's what we're going to see. So we have to do this now. Okay, you get the idea. This whole idea about vision, how it moves us beyond the current status quo and makes us think differently. Well, let's ask a really important question, though. Is this idea of vision biblical? Because when we talk about mission and vision, there's sometimes pushback that says, you know, this is just corporate lingo and language, and why is the church talking about things like mission and vision? These are like more business terms. So is that a fair argument? Is vision biblical? Getting people to think about the future? Well, I would say it's incredibly biblical, and I would say it's biblical before it's business. That the business world has just kind of hijacked something that has always been part of the life of the church. So what about, think about the call of Abram, right? God comes to him and he goes, you know, leave your family and go to a land that I will show you, right? He doesn't know where he's going, and he just goes, and God says, and look at the stars of the sky, you know, that's how many your descendants will be, you know, the grains of sand here in the desert, your descendants will outnumber that. And Abram, when he becomes Abraham and he's in the promised land, And God says, and one day all of this land will be your descendants, right? So why does Abraham leave his home? Why does Abraham do all the things he does? It's because God gave him a vision of what could be. And so he was willing to make all these sacrifices. He's willing to endure whatever it is that God asks him to do in order to be a part of God's great purpose, right? So God gives Abraham a vision. That's what gets him going. Okay, we see this also with Moses, right? So at the burning bush, when God first appears to Moses, he goes, Moses, I want you to go back. I want you to release, be the leader, release my people from Egypt. I want you to confront Pharaoh, and then you will come back here and you will worship me with them, right? And you will lead them into the promised land. You know, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, right? So there's this vision of Moses, I want you to do this because this is where you're going. This is the plan. This is the purpose. So, again, Moses deals with incredible amounts of hardships and difficulty and just the craziness of the Israelites and their disobedience, right? Why? Because he's got this vision and that just keeps driving him, what God has called him to do. We could think of the disciples. Jesus gives them a vision. I will make you fishers of men, right? I'm going to send you out into the world. You're not just going to fish for fish. You're going to fish for people. And then again, sending them out. You know, you're going to go to all corners of the world. The world will know me through you. I mean, think of these few disciples who are gathered when they received the Great Commission. And it was, you're going to go to the end of the world. Like, these guys hadn't been anywhere in their life, right? I mean, they lived in a little fishing village and then they followed Jesus around. But honestly, that area was actually quite small. And they're saying, you're going to go to the ends of the world to preach the gospel. What a vision Jesus laid out for them. And then certainly, I think the grandest vision of all is what is in Revelation. It's also in Isaiah, the new heaven and a new earth, that God has given us a vision of where it is all going towards, that he is going to return and the kingdom of God will descend in fullness and he will be with his people and there'll be no more crying or pain or sin or, you know, eternal glory. Like, that's the vision that God is leading the world towards, and he's shared it with us. So is vision biblical? Absolutely. I mean, isn't that what all prophetic prophecy is? All these prophetic announcements that God is going to do this. He's always giving people a vision of what he is going to do. So let's talk about vision. And how do you discover what your vision is? What is the unique, original thing that God is calling you to do? Right? Because, I mean, God, Noah built an ark. You know, Moses led the people out of the wilderness. David was a king. The disciples preached the gospel. It was always, you know, kind of very different. You know, when God calls people, it's not just do the same thing as everybody else. It's often very unique. So let's talk about this. So first of all, it requires prayerful discernment. Your vision of what you should do. It's original in the sense that you're not just copying the guy down the street, but it's not original in the sense that it's you're making it up. It's original in the sense that it's God created it, and you're just discerning what it is. But it's unique to you. So in that sense, it's original. It's not just this is what everybody else is doing. We're going to do this as well. So how are we uniquely situated, right? What's different about where you're at? I mean, are you in an urban setting? Are you in a rural setting? Is your church or your ministry, is it 3 years old? Is it 200 years old? What's going on in your community? Did you just go through a natural disaster? Do you have great schools? Is it an aging community? Are there a ton of young families? you think about, a town where maybe a new business just moved in. You know, Amazon or Google is building headquarters down the road from you, and there's going to be a massive influx of people. Or maybe there's like refugees or immigrants moving into your neighborhood or your community. Or maybe the company in town shut down, and it's a very hard and difficult place. So you got to consider all these things. Where are we uniquely situated? And then what are the needs? Like, what are the present needs of the community around us? You know, so just taking time, like looking around, asking people, just looking with the eyes of the Lord. If Jesus was walking through your town, what would he see? Where would he go? What are the needs that he would address? Okay, and that's just prayerful discernment. How are we uniquely situated? Because you're different than everybody else. So my church, we're in a small town on the shores of Lake Michigan. We're in the middle of downtown, and our church is 170 years old, and it's this big brick stained glass building. And so our building is very formal. It's very traditional. And we are in the middle of a business district, and on one side and the other side is all vacation rental homes for people who come to the beach in the summer where we live. That's kind of where we're at. All right. We also live in a church in a town where there's churches on a lot of corners. Okay. You might be in an area where you're the only church within 30 miles. You know, so we're all very uniquely situated, okay? And figuring that out. Second, what gifts, abilities, passions do we have? Like your church, like what's the unique makeup? What are the people good at? What are their spiritual gifts? What drives them? What gets them excited? Think about things in the past. What's something that's going on in the community that people are really kind of, you know, getting jazzed about? And how can you contribute to that? Or is there a need that's going on that's breaking the hearts of people? I remember in a church I'd previously served when I was an associate, the county we were in had one of the highest rates of alcoholism in the entire United States. So that was kind of a unique situation we were in, just tremendous substance abuse. And there were some people in our church who really had a passion to try to reach out to that. And some of them had that experience. They were coming out of that. Some others had family and friends who had gone through that. And so they just really had this passion for it, and they really wanted to connect. And so there was this kind of wonderful kind of coming together of what we wanted to do and where our heart was and what the community needed. And so we had this ministry that was really based on this idea that the only true recovery comes through Jesus Christ. And it really set the church apart. And it had a very, very vibrant ministry. And our vision was this idea of a lot of people coming out of substance abuse into, you know, free from that and living, you know, victorious and glorious lives for Jesus Christ and transforming families, transforming the next generation so they would break this cycle of bondage. I mean, that was a big vision. And it was just really exciting to see how God just worked through that and did just so many wonderful and amazing things. So you want to think about what gifts, passions, abilities do you have? Again, what gets your people going? There's an example of a story of a town in, I think it's called Possum Trot, Texas, if I recall. Well, in Possum Trot, this church became, just really had a vision for children without families, and the number of adoptions and fostering that happened in this church was like astronomical. It was like they had more children who were being fostered and adopted than they even had people in the church. And it was just, that was their passion. They just saw children in either in their community or in the world, and just, we want to be Christ. We want to welcome those who have anyone around them, who are alone and orphaned, and they embrace that. And so, again, gifts, abilities, passions, unique situations. And then I think another kind of important question for us to think about is, where has the Lord been leading? Where has the Lord been showing up in our life? Okay. Where has the Lord been leading? Where has He been kind of pushing and showing up? So that's really kind of a big piece of this because if anybody's familiar with Henry Blackaby's book and the study and all that, Experiencing God, that's really what Blackaby talks about is, if you want to do something great, don't just come up with an idea and do something. The whole premise of Experiencing God is look for God. Where is He at work? Where is He moving? And then join Him in that. Like, that's, you know, that's just a natural way to go about it. So just prayerfully discerning, how are we situated? What abilities do we have? And where do we see God at work? Okay, where is He going already? And again, there's just a million things you can do with that. Whether it's we're going to adopt a neighborhood, we're going to present the gospel to every home in our zip code. We're going to make sure every child in our community has a Bible. We're going to make sure we're going to have everyone in our congregation read through the Bible and be most biblically literate church, you know, in the state. I don't know. But, you know, we're going to grow in such a way that we do this. We're going to raise $1 million for missions so that this one country can experience the gospel. It's endless. There's endless things, but again, it's always thinking about the future and what we can do, right? So the process that we went through was a bunch of us, we went through just praying daily about, God, what would you have us? And we had index cards, and we would write down what we thought, where God was leading us and where we needed to revitalize and what it could look like and about the community. And we did that for about a month, and then we got our index cards together and our coach, who we had at the time, we had 1,000 or something, and then he sorted them all out kind of in the categories, and it was like, this is what the people of our church were hearing. Kind of our leadership team, here's what we were hearing. And it was interesting how many similarities kind of we had and we heard and we saw, and that God was leading us in the same direction. So that can be a really, just really good exercise maybe for you, is just to have people daily just take a time to discern, okay, God, what would you have for us? God, I'm just, not my agenda, but yours. And do that, and then kind of sort them out and see, like, what is God saying to us? I also had done, as we were discerning some things, I also wrote out, it ended up being about 20 pages, a document. It was a vision document, and it was kind of a what if, or an imagine this. And I put the church out 7 years from the time when I wrote it, and I said, and I wrote just about how all the things like had gone well in worship and how that had changed and in the youth ministry and in small groups and discipling and our mission team and with our facility. And I gave the speech I gave at a big banquet celebrating God and all the good things he had done. And it was so exciting. Like, as I started writing it, like, I couldn't wait. I was just typing and I couldn't wait to share it with other people and get them thinking about it. So maybe doing something like that, I condensed it down to like a 2-page version and bullet pointed, and we shared that with a number of people. But again, it got the juices flowing, and people are thinking, wow, like, I wonder if that could be. Now, I'll say this. When I wrote that, it was 7 years in the future. We're now at 6 years. There's a lot of things on that vision document I wrote that did not happen. Not even close. But I'll tell you what. There are a number of things that did, and that's really exciting. And there's some things that have happened that I didn't even write about, that God has showed up in really cool and interesting ways. And so, but it's so neat. I recently went back and read it, and it was like, my goodness, like, look at all the things that we dreamed about that God has done. Like, he's been faithful. It didn't always work out the way we thought, but it's like, but he's definitely doing things. He's definitely at work. And when we were discerning through our prayer cards and all that, like, we weren't far off from what God wanted to do. So those are just a couple things that you can do to kind of get the vision going, thinking about what would God have us do. If you really want to kind of go the extra mile, there's a great book resource called God Dreams by Will Mancini, M-A-N-C-I-N-I. And it's a whole process of how to discern a vision and how to kind of roll it out. And that's an excellent resource. But again, anything by Aubrey Malfers with like advanced strategic planning and all those kind of things. There's a lot of resources out there if you want to go that extra mile. But as you're doing this, I mean, you're kind of pulling together a lot of things, right? I mean, we've talked about your assessments. Your church history. Where has God showed up in the past? What does God like to do in your community, in your church? We're talking about health factors. We're talking about mission. We're talking about your unique location. All these things are kind of coming together. They're speaking into this. So vision discerning, it's a messy process. It takes a lot of things into account, but it's worth doing. It really is worth just kind of getting into and doing and dreaming. And honestly, of all the things you do in revitalization, it's definitely one of the most fun. right? Because you're just smiling, you're thinking, you're dreaming, you get all excited about it. And your people will too, just as you get excited about it, because God has dreams for them too, and they want to think about their future and all that. So just with that, I'm just going to wrap it up. I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to move on to one more lecture on structure, kind of the how do you actually start to make these things happen in the church? Like, how do you organize around mission and vision? And I'll just tell you a little bit about that and how we did it. So hopefully that'll be a blessing to you as well. But for now, let me just pray for the vision. God, just as song we often sing, open the eyes of our heart, we want to see you, God. I pray that for every congregation, every ministry, every pastor, every leader represented in this class who's watching, God, would you open up their eyes so that they might see you, God, to know where you're leading. God, give them the courage to follow you, the boldness to go, Lord, where you want them to go. Lord, fill them with unwavering perseverance, a determination, Lord, to not give up, but to realize the very dreams and that you have for them. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. And for the people, Lord, who are going to be taking on this great task of writing out visions and dreaming and sharing, God, just give them confidence and assurance of faith. I pray all this in your name. Amen.